Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is truth, Lord. We thank you that your word carries authority, Lord, that it's never changing, Lord, that it's reliable, Lord. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that even if our circumstances change, Lord, as culture changes around us, Lord, as the world changes around us, Lord, that your word is infallible, Lord, and Lord, that we can trust it, Lord. Thank you that we can stake our lives on it, Lord. We can stake eternity, Lord, on your word, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we know, Lord, that your word comes and it feeds, Lord. It cuts, Lord. It heals. It challenges, Lord. It does so many things, Lord. And today, Lord, I just ask, Lord, that your word, Lord, be blessed in every heart, Lord. I thank you for good soil, Lord. I thank you that there's an opened atmosphere here, Lord. There's a hunger, Lord, to receive from you, Lord. And I pray that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Yeah, once again, it's just awesome. I don't tell the guys what songs they must sing. And just this morning again, how the songs that we sung, because it's past tense, no? Yeah. Forgive my tenses. We sang. When's it sung? Never. But it is a song. Past something. But which we sang just fits into the sermon again. And I've been preaching on worship a lot, but coming from the idolatry side. And today's also about that you can't talk about idols and not talk about worship, because we always worship. Whatever we do is worship in our lives. We always worship. It's not just music that we have here at the back. We worship with our money, we worship with our work, we worship with our health, we worship with our time, we worship with everything. Love is an act of worship. And today I actually want to talk about a subtle little thing that can become an idol in our lives. And hopefully you'll see as I go along how it becomes clear. So I'm talking about love and glory. Farouan, if you can throw it on there. And if I should ask the question to you guys today, how would you define love? I'm going to get a whole lot of answers. My wife, when I asked her the questions, the word that popped up in her head immediately was sacrifice. And I asked some other people as well, and I got different words, different definitions. And someone would say love is to do good things. But then immediately it leaves us with another predicament. What is good then? I mean, if I've got to protect someone by taking someone else's life, it's good for the one guy, but not good for the other guy. If a soldier's got to protect this town, and they've got to take lives to protect the town, they're doing good, but is it love? You know, it's a confusing thing. And all of us have definitions of love. We get it from our parents, in some extent. We get it from books. We get it from television. We get it from the media. There's a whole lot of sources that can define love for us. But the only reliable source to define the meaning of love for us is the Word of God. It is the Bible. So what I'm going to do today is I'm just going to run through a lot of scripture and show you what's the definition of love according to the Bible. And what we're going to try to get of is I want you guys just to test yourself, to measure yourself in a way as well. What have you done with the love that we just sung about? And it was just amazing when we sung, and I mean, I didn't brief Andre to do that, but we sang, we received love as we sang, and we gave love. We worship God with our love as well. And we love horizontally as well. We give love to each other as well. And for us as Christians, it's important that we not try to get the balance right, but just understand what is God's intention for love. And we read in 1 Corinthians 13:12, it's the first scripture that's up there. We all know that one by heart. We see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the Bible says, comparing those three, love is the greatest. And then there's another scripture in 1 Timothy 1 verse 5 that says, the aim of our charge, the aim of the commands that God gives us, the obedience of our obedience to those commands, the aim of that is love. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Matthew 22:36, Jesus himself says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first command. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Romans 13:10. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. There's 663 laws that the Israelites have in the first five books. And Jesus came to fulfill all of them. And we know Jesus is love. God is love. And Jesus is God. He is love. And it says that that's why he came, to fulfill the law, to give us love, to demonstrate his love. But it's still something that we have to investigate. Just to say Jesus is love and God is love, we need to get practical about it as well. Okay, what does that mean? And the Bible is very clear that God talks about love a lot. The Bible is the source of the definition of love. But there's another concept that he talks about just as much, and that is his own glory. And the word glory is in Greek, it's the word doxa. That's where we get our word worship from. It's to glorify God, to exalt him, to lift up his name. If we have to decide who are we going to give glory, then there's the whole line of, whole choice of idols. And hopefully we choose and we decide, but we're going to give God Almighty. We are going to give him the glory. We are going to give Jesus the glory. He is the one, the only one that deserves the glory. But we are humans and we are sinful in many ways, and therefore we share our glory. You know? And that's something that will happen until Jesus comes back and he actually completes the work that he started in us, and he glorifies us as well. Then we will be perfect, and then we will be perfect glorifiers of God, or we will be perfect worshippers of God. But the question I'm asking today is, how does the love of God for me relate to the passion that he has for his own glory? And this is actually one of my last questions at the end of this sermon, but I can ask it to you now as well. If God has to worship someone, who will he worship? Anyone? Himself. You studied theology, I know that. No, but that's it's simple as that. Jesus, to whom did he pray? To the Father. But Deuteronomy. Yes, that Deuteronomy. Yep. The fifth book of the Bible, chapter 6, verse 4 says that God is one. Behold, O Israel, the Lord your God, he is one. So if we want to get technical, Jesus actually prayed to himself because he is God. You know? So if God must choose someone, he must worship him himself. But there's a lot of acts in the Bible that God showed his love towards us as well. We've got seven here. Predestination, creation, incarnation, salvation, sanctification, propagation, consummation. We all find that at the station. I'm a poet as well. But what I'm going to show you in the Bible now, I'm just going to give you straight scripture. Is that all those things, and I'll explain it to you, because I know there's some people that goes, but proper what? But I'll just quickly give a definition as well, because I had to go to the dictionary to figure it all out. But God is doing all those acts there, in love, but for his glory. And that's the thing that I want to show you guys today, is that We get very, very, very selfish with the love of God. We take the love, and then we don't really know what to do with that. And that's fine. That's the thing I want to state today. I want to make it clear that there's people, and that's why, once again, God was so faithful this morning, just demonstrating it through the worship, coming and saying, I want to touch you. I want to love you. I want to heal you. I want to be God in your midst. I want to deliver you. I want to let you realize again that I've given you the capacity to forgive. I've given you the capacity to let go. I've paid the price. The act on the cross that Jesus did was love. That was his motivation. That was his motivation, to love us. And you must never let that go. It's yours. You must take that love. So don't take me forever saying no. You know, don't think that God don't love you. You must take that. Okay, does everybody got that? You must get that. You must take the love of God. It's yours. It's being poured out on you 24/7 the whole time. And like we experienced it yesterday again. You know, you get to that accident scene and there's trauma. You know, and you experience it in your spirit as well. Okay, and you pray and you think, okay, today God's going to do a miracle. This woman's not going to die. You know, and it happens. They pull a blanket over her. And you walk away, then you're disappointed. You're disappointed in God. You know, there's a part of you that goes like, Lord, why didn't you come through? I mean, there's a family on their way, excited for holiday, and their lives will never, ever be the same again. And then we confuse the lines and we say, Lord, you know, what happened here? But this was the enemy stealing, taking away. And that's why we have to regroup. We have to do stuff like we did this morning again. And we have to say, Lord, we worship you regardless. We know that you let everything work towards the good for those who believe in you. You know, and you're not able to do those things if you don't understand the love of God. And we don't understand the love of God. We have to learn to deal with that, to understand why these things happen. But God is love. And even in tragedies like what we experience, God will. He will bring something beautiful out of it. We won't be seeing it now, but He will bring something beautiful out of it. Okay, so I just give that to everyone, is that you must know that God loves you. That's what Jesus came to do for you. Okay, so I'm just quickly going to show you some scriptures, and then it's going to come clear for you. Predestination, Ephesians 1 verse 3. And obviously the word will do the talking. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. Does that say that God loves you? Yes, very clearly. Verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. To the praise of whose glorious grace? His glorious grace. He has predestined you, he has chosen you to be part of his kingdom, to be his child, to be adopted. Even before he created the world, he has chosen you. He knew about you. He knows about everything in your life. The intimate detail he knows about. Okay? So it's clear that he says, I love you, my child. I love you. I've predestined you. But keep into account, he says, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. And that's Jesus, the beloved. In the beloved. Next one, creation. Isaiah 43 verse 6. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for whose glory? My glory, whom I formed and made. For his doxa. We've been created to worship him in everything that we do. Every breath that you take, every time you blink your eye, you do it to glorify God. Even sinners does it. They're worshiping God and they don't even know it. Because he created them. He created all of us. Next one. Oh, I have to talk about the microscope and the telescope first. Philippians 1 verse 20 says, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing shall I be put to shame, but that with a boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Okay, and just like I said now, what we do is we worship God. And worshiping God makes to magnify. This is what Philippians says. But there's something we have to check out here, the analogy of the microscope and the telescope. Both of them magnifies. It makes something bigger. But if we see ourselves as microscopes, we blaspheme God. Because if you look at God through a microscope and you think He's small and my obedience and my faith and my love must magnify, that's not the truth. Do you agree? He's huge. He's infinite. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's all-present. He is mega, magna, hu, yaha. Do you have like a huge word for me in English? Humongous. Thank you. He's beyond humongous. And that's how big His love is as well. Okay, so we magnify Him more like telescopes. It's like a galaxy that is massive, massive, massive. But it is brought into perspective. It's brought into sight. And as human beings that glorifies God, that is our purpose. That is why He created us. It's actually to show the world God's true colors. And we mess up. I mean, we get religious and we hurt people and we beat them with the magnifying glass and, you know, we headbutt them and we into the kingdom. You know, we kick their behinds into church. And that's good as well. God will use that as well. Somewhere the love will kick in. But we have to see, God, what are You doing in our lives? How do You want to use us to magnify You? Okay, so you all understand that. We're not the ones through our obedience that can say, listen, I can take a chip off my shoulder and say, you know, I'm glorifying God, but I am the one that has been created. I am the one that shines. I am the idol here. And that's the challenge. We become selfish many times with the love of God, like I already said. Okay, so I just wanted to make that clear. You're a mirror, Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. What that means is, either the world will influence us, or we will influence the world. If we lose our taste, the world starts to influence us. But if we are salty, okay, we bring flavor to the world. And the flavor that we bring is either our own, okay, and praise God, my wife packed in my deodorant because I have a very nice flavor that only I like. And in the same way, it's either people pull up their noses for us and say, you know, you're a bunch of hypocrites. You know, you don't stick to what you proclaim. You don't walk the talk. But this is what it's saying. It's saying, listen, we love the world. We care for the world. But then it goes on. It says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to who? To your Father who is in heaven. So we've got this picture of us being a mirror. And when we have the right, facing the right side towards the sun, we reflect it. If the sun comes from there, and I've got a 45 degree angle, you know your physics, I reflect it onto the people. But what sin has done is, it's turned the mirror around, and you've got that grey area. And it absorbs, it absorbs, it absorbs, it absorbs. Okay? And the only thing that it casts is a shadow. So if you're the mirror, and you absorb God's love. I almost got you there with that piece of spit. Did you see that? I'm sorry about that. Sorry, JP. If you are the mirror, the light comes, it shines on you. And you've got two choices. Either you reflect it. I mean, a mirror gets warm, eh, when the sun shines on it. So you get it as well. You get the love. You get parts of that glory. But you're not supposed to absorb it. If the sun keeps shining on you and you absorb everything, you're going to crack. You've got to reflect it. So we are mirrors. We're supposed to be mirrors. But we still have that tendency, that sinful blotches in us that gets selfish. And we fall in love with our own shadow. And compared to God's glory and His sunlight and everything, that's who we are. I mean, even if we've been created by Him. But we are shadows. We are mere shadows compared to His might and His magnanimity. What did you say? Humongousness. Okay, let's go on. Incarnation. In means in, like you walked into the door, and con means flesh. Incarnation means God became flesh. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He pleased." For goodness sake, people, He came to die for us, didn't He? He came to the cross for me. Yes, He did. He did. Amen, He did. But we have to add to that the angels' perspective. They understand this because they are perfect beings more than we are. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God. Okay, making my point clear here. Salvation. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14. "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And He died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who for their sake died and was raised." So you getting saved, it's not for you. It's not just to reach people. I'll show you that just now. It's for the glory of God. Every time we lead someone to Jesus, it's for His glory. Okay? We get the goosebumps. We go, pity got saved at last. We've been praying for Him for 50 years. He's pit now. We started at pity, but He's pit now. Thank goodness He got saved before He was only pee. But it's for the glory of God. For the glory of God. And my life that I live is for the glory of God as a saved person. And we forget that. Sanctification. Philippians 1 verse 9. Sanctification means to become more holy, more and more like God. Becoming perfect more and more and more. But it's a process. Philippians 1 verse 9. "And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ." So Paul prays for the Philippians to God. That's what we do when we pray. And he says, "God, I pray that you will fill these people, that you will fill Swakopmund with the fruit of your righteousness. That they will do good things. That they will walk into the good works that you've prepared for them. That you will cause them to grow, to multiply. That you've got to cause them to get out of this place and get a bigger place. Because you just bless them so much. Because they are being sanctified. The fruit of righteousness grows in them. And it must be picked." But then it says, "To the glory and praise of God." And people, this is something that we should never, 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 what's the word, get out of sync with. We should never forget this. We should never become selfish and take it our own. Because it happens just like that. We become greedy. We become focusing, we're focusing on ourselves. Even as a church, even as a body, we'll go like, "Wow, we've grown. You know, we're getting there. Systems are at last is starting to work. At last the worship team, they're gelling. They're not as false as they were last year. They're better." I'm just kidding. Okay, they were great last year as well. But things start happening when God gets involved. Because we partner with Him. And then either we can humble ourselves all the time and say, God, for your glory, for your glory. And this, and the word is full of this stuff. It's full of this stuff to keep us in check. Because we can take the glory for ourselves. We can become the city on a hill that's boastful, that's proud, that's arrogant. And we forget that we operate by God's grace, that we're supposed to be a mirror on a hill, shining the love of God towards the people. Propagation, okay? Propagation means to increase, to make more. That's why we plant churches. That's why we sow the seed. That's why we bring the word. It's to make more, okay? So when you want children, you call your wife, you get married first, you call your wife, you say, honey, it's going to bedroom. She says, yes, what are we going to do? And you say, we are going to propagate. Okay. It's just a tip there. If you guys don't know how to whisper sweet things into her ear. So I'm going, we're going to have some proper propagation tonight. Okay, but let's just close your ears, you young people. It's like for the married people here. But in the spirit, that's what we do as well. God increases in us. We increase to the outside. More people get saved. You guys are planting churches. That's why we're going to Korichas. We want to extend the kingdom. We want to help the propagation. Romans 1 verse 5. Through whom we have received grace and apostleships. Apostle is someone that gets sent to do something. Either God sends them directly, or in a sense, we apostles that's been sent here to bless you guys. And when you walk over the street to someone's house with a mission, either by the pastor or by God himself, you walk in apostleship. Okay, that's what that means. Through whom we have received grace and apostleship. You can help me. Apostleship. To bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name. Among all nations, for the sake of his name, among all nations. Consummation, this is the last one. Consummation means the end, completing, accomplishing, perfecting. This is when everything that God has done and planned will be consumed. It's the sum of things. 1 + 1 = 2. Things will add up. It will be completed. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction. That's not you guys if you know Jesus, okay? Away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. When he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all who have believed because our testimony to you was believed. John Piper says that's why you need a new body. That's why you need new eyes. Because we will be so glorified and shining so much that with normal eyes we won't be able to look at each other. We'll be shining, sisters and brothers. And you won't need sunglasses. We need new eyes. And we will be glorified when the consummation takes place. But, even if we are glorified, when Jesus comes to fetch us, it is for the glory of God. It is for him. Okay. Now the question that I have to you today is, are you fully and completely satisfied in God alone? Are you completely and fully satisfied in Jesus alone? Because this is a little idol I'm talking about now. Jesus loves you so much. But you can be satisfied in God because he loves you. Not because he's God. And that is a selfish motive. Do you understand what I'm saying? If I am only satisfied, fully satisfied in God, because he loves me, and not just because he's God, I am not yet worshipping him with everything in me. Okay? And it's something in our minds that must change. It's not something that you're going to press out in works. You can't perform. You can just say, Lord, today your word is showing me something here that I need your grace. I need your Holy Spirit to come and help me to worship you with this as well. That I am fully and completely satisfied because of the work that Jesus Christ has done on the cross. He has said it is finished. He brought completion. And Lord, I'm not taking that love for myself. I want to give it away. I want to give it to the world. I want to show people it. I just quickly want to show you how much Jesus loves you. Matthew 25, verse 21. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. We will be heirs. Erfgename. We will inherit something. What will we inherit? Check this out. Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Okay? And we are really working hard now on this side to gather as much earth as possible. We have sand in South Africa as well. We have sand in the Free State where I come from. The same as in Swakop. It's just covered with stuff called grass and trees and rocks. So it's always awesome for us to come here and to see the foundation of God's creation. And know that if it's not for this stuff, we won't be able to have all the other stuff. But we will inherit the earth. And I told people the other day in Paul, I said, listen, okay, we are really working hard to gather stuff on this side of earth. We of the life. We're really working hard. We want to get everything squeezed in before Jesus comes back. Oh my goodness, Jesus is coming back. And I still have to see the world. And I still have to make so much money. And I still have to buy this house. And I still have to have so many children. And I still have to buy this car. And there's a life to be living before Jesus comes back. You know? And we get all like, oh, time's running out, time's running out. I was like that before I got married. I just have to find a wife, you know, because I have to propagate. I have to propagate. Just before Jesus comes back. You know? And we're stupid. Because Jesus is coming back and he says, I'm going to give you guys the earth. You get the whole thing. We're going to get galaxies. We're going to get stuff. We're going to get so much. But because we live on this side of eternity and we don't have an eternal perspective, we get our senses all confused. Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself bears witness with... No, that one I already read. It's the other one, sorry. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. And just said, you are an heir of that. I'm quickly going to run forward. Okay, so you get it. God loves you. Now, God will serve you. Did you guys know that? When Jesus comes back, he's going to serve you. I want to read this to you. I'm just going to read from verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. That's Jesus. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at the table and he will come and serve them. It freaks me out a bit. Because I only know about the revelation Jesus. The Jesus with a sword in his mouth. Was coming to judge the world. And this piece here says he's going to serve us. Okay? He's going to be the servant one. And I don't know how he's going to do it, but this is his heart. So for those of you who've been waitering and you think like it's a low job, no. It's an awesome job. Because that's what Jesus is going to come and do in his glorified state. This is what the Bible says. Okay? Even if your brain goes like, can't be. This is what the Bible says. His heart's not going to change. He's still the servant king. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still the same. We're going to judge angels. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 3. Revelation 3:21, and this is a freaky one. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. This is deification. It means you're going to become like a god. This is what the Bible says. And once again, it freaks us out. But this is what God says. He says, you're going to sit with me on my throne. You're going to sit with me on your throne. This is how much he loves you. So never, never, never let that go. Never, never say, but God doesn't love me. Jy sê witbroodjie. What's that in English? I almost said porcupine. His favorite. You're his favorite. Yeah, that doesn't fit him. But that's just... Zephaniah 3 verse 17, he rejoices over you. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Fear not, Matthew 10 says. Therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So I'm asking you again. Do you feel more loved by God when he makes much of you? Or because he frees you to enjoy making much of him forever? And once again, it came through the worship. I didn't prompt Andre to ask that, but he started with that prayer. And that's what God wants to tell you guys today. I want you to be free. I want you to be free worshippers. I want you to be free bringing me glory. I want you to have joy, fullness of joy, to glorify me. Because we glorify God to the max when we focus on him. So I'm asking you another question. Today, in who do you find the most joy? In God or yourself? In God or your spouse? In God or your children? In God or your house? In God or your car? Where do you find the most joy? Because joy is one of those gauges that shows us, wow, I've got joy like a fountain in my soul. I've got peace. I've got the righteousness of God. But it's not from me. It's not from anyone else. It's from God. And practically, it's like this. Whenever you young people, okay, when you want to get married, guys, and you go to a girl, the first thing you tell her is you say, you know, you are number two in my life. She goes, what do you mean I am number two in your life? Then you repeat yourself and you say, no, you are number two in my life. And then she will wiggle a little less and then you explain it to her. The same with your children, the same with your wife. They must always, as a Christian, remain number two in your life. Because they are much better off, and my wife will testify of that. They are much better off being number two, second to God, second to Jesus, than they are number one in my life. I will destroy them if they are number one in my life. And this is what I'm talking about. This is it. There's another example that John Piper uses talking about the Grand Canyon. How much time do I have? Otherwise, I'll just skip the Grand Canyon. Is it okay? All right. Carry on. I have one hand there. There's some of you that's been to the Grand Canyon there. But you know it's Javazel though. But you know about the Grand Canyon. You know what a canyon is. It's this huge erosion hole. Probably created by the flood. It's huge. It's massive. And John Piper says, when you stand there at the Grand Canyon, you don't go there looking at this massive hole going down here for miles and stretching for, I don't know, it's a big thing, man. It's huge, massive. Huge, huge. You don't go there to increase your self-esteem. Okay? Because it's massive. You go there and the closer you come to that edge, you realize, as gravity starts pulling, I can die here. You get freaked out by the hugeness of that canyon. Okay, and some of you already see where I'm going with this. So what you need with that experience that is massive, that is huge, you need security. Okay? So you come and you meet with God, and we have not seen His glory. We have not seen Him manifest. His power, His might. And if He's going to do that, we're going to be so freaked out. And if we do not understand that He is a loving God, we're going to think like Isaiah did. I am going to die here. That's why the love is built into the system, if you can talk about it like that. He says, listen, come to me. Come to the Grand Canyon. You can come and stand on the edge. Throw your, what is your haka, of your heels. You know, and you can like do this balancing thing here. You know, like, okay, if I ask you, I'm dying. Okay, I'm like my cousin Omper. He says, you can do that, but this is the prerequisite. I'm holding you in my arms. Okay? And some of you need that. That's what God was trying to tell us this morning. You need that love. You need that revelation of love. That you can look at God, that you can experience God through Jesus Christ. because He manifests love. And He says, I love you guys. But you can open your eyes now. Okay? I know you experience the love. I know you experience the safety. I know you experience the warmth. But there's a time that you must open your eyes. And for some of you, now is the time to open your eyes. For some of you, it's time to walk to the canyon. It's some of you, it's time to go to the Grand Canyon, to come to the Grand Canyon, to come to Jesus. Say, God, you are huge. You are massive. Jesus, you're not just a little baby in a manger. You're not just a carcass on the cross. You are God, manifest, incarnate. And I need you, Jesus. I need your love because I can't cope in this world. But that should never be your main reason. Eventually, you must grow to a place of thankfulness and worship where you say, Lord Jesus, I thank you that I can just glorify you, regardless. Because people, there does come times in our lives, tenses all messed up. Times in your life where things doesn't feel right. And then you need to know that He still loves you. And He's still worthy of your worship. He still needs to be worshipped. And people, we get fully satisfied when we worship God fully. Can I quickly read one more scripture and then I'm going to close. So I may read the Bible. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Ruan, if you can go to John 11, verse 1. That story about Lazarus. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus, of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, him who you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God. Okay? There's a concept seen there of love. Jesus loved this people dearly. They love him dearly. But the guy's dying. And they're saying, Jesus, we know you're the miracle worker. Hurry up. Hurry up. He's dying. There's a desperation. There's a cry in them. There's a suffering. There's an intense torment they're going through. There's a trauma. They're saying, Lord Jesus, come. And Jesus says, because he was in a different place. It was messengers that came to him. He says, listen, this is not to death, it's for the glory of God. So that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now imagine that. Sick bed, someone dying. What you guys experienced yesterday at that scene. I mean, time's ticking. It's running out. You're calling for God. Saying, Lord, come and pour out your love in the form of healing. Like we're going to learn on Saturday, Sias is going to teach us. Come and pour out your love in the form of healing. So that we can experience your love. So that Lazarus can experience your love. That he can get well. What does Jesus do? Next verse. No, not the next verse. Just going on in verse 4. So that the Son of God may be glorified. Now, I'm on the wrong so. Verse 6. So, when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. And we know what happened in those 2 days. Lazarus died and he started rotting. Okay? He died. And the thing I want to show you here is God's perspective. Perspective. He says, I love these people. But the first priority is for me to be glorified. So Jesus comes and he tells them, listen, I'm the one that's going to be glorified in this. It's about me. Okay? And when we think with our earthly brains, we think that's arrogant. Oh, Jesus, wow. Praise God is Jesus, because he could raise the guy from the death. But Lazarus is not here with us today. He died again. But God was glorified in that. That was the main purpose of someone dying, was for God to be glorified. And guys, whether we are dying, whether we are breathing, whether we are living, whether we've got joy, whether we've got sadness, it's all to glorify God. That's why we've got to live. That's why we're Christians. Lastly, I'm just going to read John Piper's definition of love. He says, love is doing whatever you have to do at whatever cost to yourself to help the beloved be enthralled, fascinated, gripped, captivated, absorbed, fully and forever with what is most satisfying. God, not themselves. Can we stand? You're the... Ja, Charmaine, jy voel iets sterk op jou hart wat jy wil deel.
Good morning. I just really feel on my heart that I need to share something that I haven't even shared in our own church. And this is really just to glorify God this morning. And I'm not emotional because due to the situation, but just because He's done such healing in my heart. And, you know, that I just want to be practical about what Rick has just said. Because in last year, you know, I've always, since I was young, the only thing I wanted to be one day was a mom. And in last year, and I'm really emotional because I just want to honor God because He's done wonderful healing in my heart. We lost our baby, and it was just so amazing that I just want to share around what Rick said. I was so disappointed in God, and I really had so much faith in my heart. And God took away something that was very, 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 very special to me. And sometimes in your life, it is an idol, even if it's a baby, or if it's a spouse, or if it's a house, or if it's you are trusting God for a husband, that becomes your idol in your life. And the moment that God took that away from me, I was so angry and so disappointed. And I was really, very, very ill as well. And they started to fight for my life for almost 3 weeks in hospital. And I was so stripped of all my comfort and everything that I had. And I didn't medical fund, a husband, nothing else cared anymore. It was just if I close my eyes today, if I will be with God. And I actually, through this, all of this, God just showed me that I didn't love Him just for who He was. I didn't, I was just stripped of everything, and I just realized that I didn't just honor God for who He was. And then the moment that my focus changed, and I said to God that at this point, the only thing that I want is to know You more and to honor You for who You are. And I know that You will use this for the better, and that You will, that this will bring good in our life, or in our life. And what I just want to say today is that I can really say that my focus completely changed in that time. And there were lots of complications, things that might have happened, and I could have become more and more ill, and there was an option of cancer and all of that. And I can just honestly say, when I woke up in the morning, I was just so thankful that I was alive. And I just started praising God just for who He was. And even now, my focus has changed because I'm healthy now and I'm fine and we've settled down and everything is good again. But my focus really in that time was really just God for who He was and His love. And I can honestly say today, and I spoke to Frankie this morning, and I just realized that God has really done this for the better. And I think that could have saved me out of hell, because I was just so comfortable in who I was, and I thought I was okay. But the moment that God took something so special away from me, I was so angry, and I always wanted to blame God for certain things. But He really allowed it in our lives just to challenge me in why do I actually serve Him.
Thank you, Shamain. Yeah, I just feel we have to just continue what God started this morning. Just having the Word added to our faith, it will just raise our faith, knowing that we can surrender certain things to God. And God will talk to you. He's already spoken to you during this service. But just for the next while, you know, close your eyes. You can sit down. You can raise your hands. You can just stand there. But practically, just talk to God and say, God, this is the reason why I love You. And Lord, I don't know if my motives is pure. And you don't have to fix yourself. You just have to acknowledge it. Just say, Lord, this is the idol that I have in my life. This is the reasons why I serve You. This is the stuff that I want from You. Even love. You see how subtle it can be? That even the love that He gives us, the stuff that He gives us, can become something that just takes away the glory, that takes our attention onto something else. And God just wants us to refocus. And it's a refocus we're going to do our whole lives. You're not going to be fixed today. It's a mindset. He wants worshippers that worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the Holy Spirit helps us to worship Him in the full truth. And there's always more. But there's no room for condemnation. There's no room for guilt. There's just room for surrender. Saying, Lord, I give this to You. I refocus. I give this to You. And it becomes a lifestyle. You're going to walk 24/7, and sometimes the Holy Spirit is just going to convict you and say, just surrender that as well. And you keep doing that. And as you do that, you become more just freer in your soul. You just become freer in the way you serve God. And the freer you become, the more satisfied you will become. But I want to make an altar call before we do that. I want to ask that everyone's eyes just close. And if you know Jesus, it's now your turn to pray. You pray and you say, God, I pray that people will come to salvation today. People will make recommitments. They will make first-time commitments so that You be glorified. And I want to invite you today. If you've backslidden, meaning you stagnated, you didn't even fall into deep, deep sin. You just stopped worshiping Jesus with the joy and the peace that you once knew. He wants to restore that. I want to invite you just to come to the front. We just want to pray with you. And Jesus knows your heart. You coming to the front doesn't save you. Jesus does. But we are family, and we want to facilitate that process. We want to pray with you. We want to slot you in relationship with people and with God, so that you can become a worshipper in spirit and truth. And maybe you're here and you've never given your heart to Jesus. Someone brought you here. You decided that today you're going to be bold and you're going to come and check out this freaky rumor. It's your first time here. And you're actually pleasantly surprised by the people here, by the atmosphere. And it's because God is here. His love is here. And I want to invite you, if you're that person who knows you've got to give your heart to Jesus, either for the first time, you want to come to the Grand Canyon, you want to experience His love, you want to worship Him by giving yourself to Him. If that's you, if the Holy Spirit talks to you, or it's a recommitment, then just quickly please raise your hand. While every eye is closed, please raise your hand. Thank you. There's a hand. There's no, don't worry, there's no place for shame, no place for condemnation. It's just the love of the Lord. He wants to touch you. Anybody else? There's another hand. Thank you. There's another hand. Anyone else? There's like this tug of war in your, kind of feels in your stomach. It's like, ah, you've got to go. That's you, that's you, that's you. That's the Holy Spirit that tells you. Listen, I want you to respond. I want you to respond. If that's you, then just pop up your hand. We family, we love you. We all love you. Whether we're from South Africa or whether we're here, we love you. And most of all, Jesus loves you. He died for you. He loves you. Don't worry about how you're going to worship Him. Just surrender. Just surrender. Anybody else? Anybody else? There's more hands going up. Okay, I'm going to ask you a bold thing. I'm going to ask if you raised your hand. Then just quickly, come to the front. Your steps coming to the front is worship to Jesus. Just come to the front. Can we give them a hand? Can we give them a hand? Okay. Okay, I'm going to do the same that I did in Paul, because it seems that it's something that has penetrated our ranks. That is not. And Yaku, may I have the liberty to just discipline your church, please? May I? I'll be nice. That is not how we celebrate people responding to Jesus. So I'm going to ask you once again to give them a proper hand and a cheer and applause. Thank you. You know, clapping and cheering doesn't chase away the Holy Spirit. Okay. So you'll always come boss gaan. You can go crazy when people come to Jesus. Because the angels do. Alright. Okay, and it must become a culture with us. We must celebrate salvations. Because God are being glorified this morning. Can you guys just look at me? Not because I stand here at the top. But just because I want to pray with you and the church. You can look at the church. You don't have to look at me. You look at the church looks at you, and we all close our eyes, and we just see darkness. And I'm going to pray, and everybody, you pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you today that I can surrender my life completely to you as an act of worship. As an act of obedience. And Lord, I do this not only because I'm going to get something, because you are God, because Jesus, you are worthy. And today, Lord, I just fully, there was fully, I just fully and completely surrender my life to you, Lord Jesus. And I pray that in your mighty name. Amen. Can you guys just maybe pray with some facilitators? Yaku, if you guys can. They just want to just pray with you. Maybe, I don't know you guys. Maybe they know you. But just get their details. Make sure they're okay. Make sure they're still in a small group. Make sure they're okay. And then for the rest of us, if we can sing, where's the band? Is the band, the rest of the band? If you guys can just come up, and if we can, kom jy iets deel? Oh, hy gaan kom bid. Okay, ek weet hy kan 'n gitaar slaan. But for the rest of us, let's just close with that song, How He Loves Us. Okay, but sing it because God is worthy. So sing unto the Lord. Raise your hands unto the Lord. Okay, that way. Not this way. That way. Okay. Yaku, I don't know if you want to say something. We're just going to worship now and then. Okay, awesome. Thank you.
He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I'm unaware of these afflictions, eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful You are and how great Your affections are for me. And oh, how He loves us so. Oh, how He loves us. How He loves us so.
He loves us.
And He loves us. And oh, how He loves us. And oh, how He loves us. And oh, how He loves.
He loves us.
And He loves us. And oh, how He loves us. And oh, how He loves us. And oh, how He loves.
We are His portion and He is our prize.
And we are His portion and He is our prize. Drawn to redemption by the grace in His eyes. If grace is an ocean, we're all sinking.
Heaven meets earth.
And heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss. And my heart turns violently inside of my chest. And I don't have the time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way He loves us. And oh, how He loves us. And oh, how He loves us. And oh, how He loves. And He loves us. And oh, how He loves us. And oh, how He loves us. And oh, and He loves us. And oh, how He loves us. And oh, how He loves us. And oh, how He loves.
And we love Him.
And we love You. And oh, how we love You. And oh, how we love You. And oh, how we love You, Jesus.
And we love You.
And we love You. And oh, how we love You.
And how we praise.
Oh, how we praise You. And oh, how
we praise You.
And we praise You, Jesus. Oh, how we praise You. And oh, how we praise You. And oh, how we praise You, Jesus. Praise You for who are. We praise You for who You are. We praise You for who You are. We praise You for who You are.
We praise You for who You are. And we praise you. We praise you for who you are. We praise you for who you are. We praise you for who you are. Let's just tell him that in your own words. Lord, we just want to praise you in this place this morning, Lord. Not just because of what you've done, Lord, but because of who you are, Lord. Because you are worthy to be praised, Lord. Lord, you are worthy to be praised. You're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Lord. There's none like you, Lord. There's none like you, Jesus. We want to praise you, God. We want to lift up your name in this place. We want to praise you, Jesus. We want to praise you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We praise you, Jesus. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's give him a shout and a praise. Yes, Jesus!